Amen. Thank you guys for that. I believe there's a day coming where we're going to start worship like that and we're not going to stop. That's what the whole worship service is going to be. The Spirit of God's going to pour out on people. Things are going to happen that only God can do. I believe that day's coming here. I believe Joey's anointed to bring that. That's just something I really believe. So thank you, Joey. Let me start off with an announcement real quick. That's going to kind of be a segue into the message, but for our youth ministry, we've got Power Life Camp at St. Simons, Georgia, coming up in June 16th through the 20th. There's a $50 deposit due by November 13th, I believe is correct. I've got that wrong in the bulletin. I'm going to be going. My son Joshua is going to be going to this at this point, and we'd like to have others go with us. So this is an official announcement about what we're doing, and we hope that we can get as many people as we can going with us. Some of you parents may need to go as well. I want you guys to know, I have a youth ministry update reel here. We, as you know, Sean and Jessica have stepped down from youth ministry. I'd like the church to know that that is largely due to our fault at this church from the leadership down. I'm not blaming anybody. Just want to let everybody know, from the top down, the last 3 years, we've not been living in mission. We've not been living in vision. We've been separated. We've been isolated. We don't communicate well. That is why we're doing this transitional interim ministry. That must be fixed. There is no excuse for not living on mission when you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and what He's given us in His Word. There's just no excuse for it. And so I take responsibility for it as far as I am to take responsibility. Just want you guys to know that. But our youth ministry has been isolated. It's been not been communicated with. It's been on its own. And I'm telling you, when you get that to that point in life, the enemy will beat you to death, is what he'll do. He is excellent at it from every angle. If he's got you isolated and people aren't communicating with you properly and you're not integrated into the body, you're done, okay? And I pray that when we get to that point, that that's when we cry out for God, you gotta help here. We got to get reconnected. So it's our responsibility as a leadership to not allow that to happen again, ever again, never again. Will we live out of mission? We will live disconnected no more. We will learn to communicate one to another. We will begin to lead from the front with a vision that's true and powerful and real and is God's, not our own. And we will follow Him with all of our hearts, and He will do miracles through us. He's going to do miracles through this church. And so for the moment, I'm being involved in youth ministry in terms of its direction and its connection, making sure we're communicating. We've got a couple of parents that have stepped in to serve. Ken and Jody Peters and Chris and Kathy Kozerski have stepped in to fill the gaps right now and to just begin to disciple and teach the Bible and be present. And I'm being present as well. And as we go through this heritage and this mission and all these things that we're doing, that's what we're doing, guys. We're solidifying ourselves in a call, and we're all going to be clear as a bell on what that's going to look like and how we're going to do it and how we're communicating to make sure that it gets done. And one of the first things we're going to do in youth ministry is something that I did in a former church of mine. It's called prayer mentoring. And it's where we take a youth and a child, all from our youth all the way down to our children. They all have their own special bookmark, and we section those things out among the adults, and we learn how to lift them up on a daily basis. And that's something we'll do on Wednesday night, on Sunday night. Not a long prayer, just a shout for God to deliver, for God to move, for God to empower, for God to reveal to their hearts the truth. And we're going to learn how to become a family here. Are y'all into that? Yeah. I'm telling you guys, there's a day that the enemy is going to quake in his boots over Tennessee Avenue. Because we have found the power source. It is Christ Himself. It's already done. It's already finished. And so just so you guys know, we have our youth ministry is, we're just going to build it from the ground up. I hate the fact from the time that I got here and I've watched youth ministries come and go through my time in church, and the weak, the innocent always get hammered the hardest. And it's terribly unfortunate. But it's our job to pick up the pieces and to build it up to where it doesn't happen again. And that's what we're going to do. If I have anything to do with it, that's what we're doing right now. So please pray for us as we do that. Please, guys, have faith in this church and what God's going to do here. It's not about us. It's about what He's decided to do. We just get into alignment with it. So have faith. Have faith in what He can do. Okay, what we've seen Him do in the past is just a taste of what He's going to do now. It's a different day. It's a new day. And He's going to do new things here. Great things. And we're going to glorify Him. So we are in Heritage. I've been through three. This will be the third sermon. Let me recap really quick. First sermon was that we inherit the heart of God. We're talking about heritage. That's inheritance. We get to inherit God's heart. What an amazing promise and truth. And Joseph's life showed us that as we went through that story. The next week was the more important thing is that we are God's inheritance. See, we are God's inheritance. To put the emphasis correctly, we're His. This is all about Him. So we get to get our heart unstuck off of our own weakness and our sin and our shame by getting it out and sharing it, sharing our story, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a positive light this time. But that's how we get rid of all that stuff so we can just see Him. It's all Him. It's all good. It's all great. It's all God. Don't have to think about our weakness anymore. It's a doorway into His greatness. And God's ready to do that here. So He's just like a tractor beam. He's going to suck you right in to Himself. He's an all-powerful, almighty God just sucking us into Himself. It's God Almighty. We say, yes, God, I'm not fighting it. I am letting go. I surrender to it. God, we want to be one with You. See, it's all about Him. Today, we're going to talk about heaven being our inheritance. Heaven, guys, is our eternal home. But when you hear that word eternal, do you think of later? It's not later. It's now. Now. Eternity is a now word, not a later word. It's an outside of time word. It's a past word. It's a present word. It's a future word. It's outside of time. Eternity is now. And so let's not put off into the future things that we can access today, because the source that's coming out of heaven is what's going to source us to overcome it all. Anything, everything that is not of God is subject to be trampled upon and removed. But we got to access heaven. So I'm excited to share this. We can overcome all things, guys, through Christ who strengthens us. All things. That's the whole point. So let me start out. We're going to be in Revelation 21. I'll go ahead and warn you, I'm going to be in a lot of Scripture today. So, and I love it. I love the Bible. Seriously. I just love it. So we're just going to be going through a lot. Go to Revelation 21, 1 through 8. We're going to read that first, and then we're going to take off from there. It's all good news today, guys. All of it. So if you're there in Revelation 21... let me read it for you. This is John, the Revelator. And this is, the revelation is Christ. It is Jesus. Okay, so what I'm reading now is found in Him. And it's here for us right now to access. It says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. I will give of the fountain of the waters of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful for heaven, your home. Father, wherever your presence is, able to be all that you desire, you create this place, heaven. And so, Lord, we just call you here. This is your church, and we are your people. We are the tabernacle of God. We house you. Our life is to be filled with your life. And so, Father, I just ask you to open the eyes of our hearts to see how powerfully true this is, that we would access it, that we would live in it. Lord, that we would understand that as this is your church, as we align with you, then you, through us, create heaven on earth. And Lord God, we ask you, show us how to do that. We worship you for it. We thank you. You are worthy, Lord God. We thank you. You are worthy. Thank you for that song as we worshiped you, for you are worthy, Lord God. Touch us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I read Revelation 21, 1 through 8, and I read it and read it and read it and read it, some of my favorite passages of Scripture, Revelation 21 and 22. As I was reading each verse, I kept having these certain verses come to me, and that's what I wanted to share with you. So if I were going to read verse 2 again, which is, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." I think of Ephesians 5:27, where the Apostle Paul says that Jesus might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Now the word there in that verse is "prepared." That means God is at work doing this very thing, removing spots and stains, removing wrinkles. He's ready to do a work in us, a powerful work that we get to let him do. That is our inheritance, guys. As we live in that, we are inheriting. What is our inheritance? Jesus paid for this inheritance. It's his inheritance. We get to co-labor with him as he brings it about. It's just a terribly exciting inheritance. All of this is inheritance. Verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.'" I think of John 17:23. Union. I in them, and you in me. Union. Oneness, that's what we say. I continue to say these things over and over and over because repetition's the mother of skill. That's how we learn these things. It's all about union, folks. That's what he says here, is the final, this is our destination, our inheritance. The final word, remember our flight plan last week? We're just staying in alignment with the flight plan, getting back into the center. Verse 4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." I think of Ephesians 1:4 in the Message translation. It says it this way: "Long before he laid down earth's foundations," remember, God's outside of time, so long before he even created anything, he had you and me in mind. He was thinking of us. "He had settled on us as the focus of his love." Why? "To be made whole and holy by his love." This is something God's determined. This is out of our hands, guys. Did you know that? He's not looking to us. He's going to do this. This is his inheritance. You better believe he's going to get what's his. We just say, yes, sir. The work on the cross made us whole and holy by the love that he revealed on that cross. Now, here's how we access it. Anybody ever cried tears of pain? Yeah, we have. Do you know the Lord is present when you're doing that? He's here to presently touch you. He's not letting you suffer alone. When we suffer, he suffers in us, with us, through us, so that those things can be redeeming the things that we're crying about. That's the beauty of the gospel. He's here. He's present. He's ready to move in and through us today. Verse 4 goes on to also say, he'll set you free from the fear of death and the curse of sin and death. See, there in heaven, in that time and place, there'll be none of that. But right now, in the midst of death as we face it, in all of its tragedy, the presence of God is here to give us an eternal perspective that this is not the final say. And you don't have to fear because I'm with you. I'm present here. That's how we access it right now today. Verse 4 says, your sorrow and crying can be used as deep intercession to reclaim and restore and redeem those around you. See, there's no wasted pain here, guys. No wasted pain. What we suffer through and what we groan in, that's what Romans 8 is talking about. Groaning's too deep for words. We don't even know how to say what we need to say, but we do it with and in the love of God. And those groans turn into intercession where God's bringing heaven to earth through us. See, he's redeeming the pain. He's redeeming the loss. He's redeeming the suffering. He's redeeming the damage that we've done if we'll let him have it. See, we access that from heaven. It's right here, right now. All of it. All you want. Verse 5 says, Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And when I read that, I think of all kinds of scriptures come to mind. I can't even state them all, but I want to state this one because I've said it before and I feel like God has said this over our church. It's Isaiah 43:19. Behold, he says, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the worse it is, the better. Because see, we get to the end of ourselves. We can't fix this. This is it's done for. It's gone. We got no hope. God says, oh yeah, turn your life to me. If you're at the end of your rope, you finally found me. And I hate we have to get to the end of our rope. But it is the truth. Finally, sync up with heaven and let heaven come. Let God do what only he can do. We just enjoy the ride. He's ready to do a new thing. Of course, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Every morning they're new. New things. You don't have to go around the mountain again. You get to go a new direction. One that God is leading in. One that you couldn't do on your own. But now that you've surrendered, now he can do it all. Guys, we're going to find that here. We're going to see that. We're going to see the glory of God in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our church. We're going to see that. And then verse 6 is, man, one of the best. I love this one, and I got something really cool from it. He says, it is done. Let me get back and read it, because it's just too good. Verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And that's really where all the source is. That's where all of these other things are done because of this part right here. And he says, it's finished. It's done. Now, of course, that reminds me of Jesus on the cross. John 19, 28 through 30, he says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said," and I didn't get this until this morning. You know what he said? "I thirst." What did he just say? I'll give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. Now, what I think happened right there is Jesus got cut off from what he's known the whole time he lived here. He got cut off, and he said, "I thirst." He did that so you and I never, ever have to say that. We don't have to be cut off. We choose to be. We listen to the wrong voice that tells us we're cut off. We listen to our feelings that are going to tell us a whole other story. But you will never be cut off, ever again. Because Jesus thirsted on that cross for you and me. Nothing can stop it, he says. Nothing can stop me from my love. Nothing. The Apostle Paul goes through this long list of things that might try, but they can't. Because Jesus thirsted. And now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with the sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And guys, it is. It's done. Nothing can stop what he accomplished. He is coming. He is God. He is Lord. He is the King. He claims it all. There is no part of this globe that he doesn't say, "Mine." He claims all of you. All of me. He is life. Gosh, I love that verse because it's not about me. It's not about how many mistakes I've made. It's about how many mistakes he didn't make. It's about how perfect he is. It's about how powerful he is. About how good he is. Oh my goodness, Lord, we love you and we thank you. He says, "I'll give you the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." And that just takes me to John 7, 37 and 38, or 39. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow out of his innermost being." And that he was speaking of the Spirit. That's you and me. We get his river to flow out of us. Rivers, turns into rivers, if we won't quench it or grieve it. If we won't have a bunch of unbelief and doubt and other things that get us off track and that make us turn our back on that flow, out of us, rivers of living water will come. And Scripture says that everything the river touches will turn to life. It's a powerful, powerful thing. And then verse 7 is the thing we're going to kind of focus on here. He says, I've gotten off my passage again. Hold on just a second. Verse 7, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son." And that reminds me of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, which is one of my favorite Old Testament passages. It's a promise. It says, "Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now this starts with God the Father connecting with us, his children, and us turning to one another and connecting. That's where that river starts to come. And then we begin to learn how it is to be like Jesus. And man, that is the struggle. That's where the difficulty comes out. But it's all inheritance. We inherit the earth. It's God's. It's not the enemy's. We take it as we are resourced from heaven and as we are directed by the Father in our own particular adventure that he's called us on in him and with him and with the cluster of grapes that are our brothers and sisters in Christ that would be our church members or our other friends of the bride. So here's my question. Where is your faith today? Now let's quickly talk about what faith is. Faith is what? Where is your faith? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, do you guys hope in heaven? That's what I'm saying. This is how you have to access it. It's by faith. We don't get to see heaven with our physical eyes, but we can see it with our spiritual eyes. And God says, I'll open those eyes so that you can see this inheritance that is yours. Where you're from is heaven. We live from heaven to earth. And your faith is going to access it. But we've got to focus in on this hope. See, substance is what we hope for. It's the substance of what we hope for. Man, I just hope for this. This is what I'm centered on. It is God. It's the King and His kingdom. I found Him. He is the answer. He is the all in all. He is life in abundance. He has everything. And so I can focus upon Him with my faith, and I can access what's already in heaven. He's ready to bring it to me. He's ready to give it to us. So where's your faith this morning? What's your faith in? So easy to get your eyes off on the pain. So easy to get your eyes on the struggle. On the problem, isn't it? But we're created in God's image. That means we're very powerful. What you focus on gets bigger. You cannot afford to focus on the wrong thing. Stop focusing on the problem. Start focusing on the answer. Jesus is the answer. He is a river that will flow out of you. So let me go over some things that I've been through a million times. But again, I'm a teacher at heart, and repetition is the mother of skill. You just hear it over and over. So Genesis 1, 26 to 28 is called the creation mandate. That's where God says, I made you in my image. Now go and multiply and have dominion and subdue. That's what we're here to do. Now, what he basically was saying to Adam and Eve was, you're in this perfect garden where you and I are having union and you've got all that you need, but you're going to have to learn to subdue. And so the lesson or what God is saying without saying it is there's something to overcome out there. And what God essentially wanted Adam and Eve to do is in partnership with him, he wanted them to expand the boundaries of the garden to the entire globe. Why? Because he wanted to overcome the enemy through his created son and daughter who would walk with him, who they would trust him, they would walk with him, they would do his will, and through that relationship we would trample down the enemy. Subdue. That's what subduing is. You trample down. See, that's opposition to God. That's in the mandate. We still have to do that. That is still the mandate. Now, we know the fall happened. We know Adam failed at that, but Jesus has restored that connection, folks. We don't have any excuses. He's finished the work. We've already been there and talked about that. But let's look at that word image again. Remember that Hebrew word tselem? I've said it several times here, and I'm going to continue to say it. What that means is that we are the shadow of God. That's how He created us, so that we would be His shadow, meaning that what He does, His shadow does. See, we're in this together. We do this together. We're doing life with Him. Having a blast. Doing what God's doing. We are His shadow. Or another way to say it is we are like He's a dance partner in a sense. He's in the lead and we're in sync. You guys have seen that Dancing with the Stars. I don't watch that, but I've seen enough of it to see it, get the idea. You know, they're in sync. They get judged for how in sync they are. That's the idea of this word. We're His dancing partners, and He's leading, but we know what's going on. We're in on the gag. We get it. We're with Him. He's flowing through us, and we know the next move because we've learned it. See, it takes time to learn that stuff. You don't just show up at dance class and know all the moves, right? You got to go through some practice. We're here to practice our eternal perfection. We got to practice it. We're not faking it till we make it. We're practicing who we really are. Don't get that wrong. And this one I got today. In Matthew 11, 23 and 24, Jesus says, Are you burdened? Are you worn out? Are you just dying of thirst? He says, come to me. Come to me. God offers you and I to get into a yoke with him. Y'all know what a yoke is? This big, we don't, you know, we just know it from the past, but this big, long, wooden thing with two iron slots that you put two mules in or whatever you're going to yoke together so they can pull something together. They can use their strength, use their power. That's the idea. God says, hey, I got this yoke here. I got another side. It's free. Will you get in here and we'll go? I don't need your power. I just want your company. I just want you to trust me in what we're doing and where we're going. I'll do it all, he says, if you'll just follow me. Hey, will you get into this yoke? I'll tell you what I've learned, and this is something I have repented of this week. I have been yoked to my own soul, and my own soul knows nothing. It is a clueless thing. Does not know up from down. Don't ask my soul much, because he doesn't have much to offer you. He certainly doesn't know where you ought to go in life or what you ought to do. He has been my problem, and he's your problem too. So get unyoked. Now what the Bible calls that is your own understanding. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells you, stop it. You don't know a thing. Get unyoked from that thing and surrender to the yoke of Christ. Let him show you where we're going, what we get to do. We get to have success. Because God's here. He's ready to bring fruit through you and me that only he can do through us. We can't get it on our own. And I'm just tired of no fruit. So tired of it. So tired of going in circles. So I'm just deeply repenting. God, I don't want to do it anymore. Just your way. Yes, I want that yoke. You get me and you take me, because I have just made a mess of it. And the longer I do it, it's more mess. So you show me where we're going. You're all I want. You're all I need. You show me where we're going, God. We get yoked up with him. See, that's in that word, selim. That's what we're created for. To be with him, to do it with him. John 5 is the verse that I keep telling you about, because that's the one Jesus talks about. He's saying, I can't do anything without my Father. And he goes on to talk about how everything he does, he sees what the Father does. He follows what the Father does. The bigger message there, though, is to Jesus would say, and I don't want to do anything else. There is no other place I want to be except right here with him. I love this. There is nothing greater than being yoked to my Father. I do it with joy. I don't even need this yoke. I'm with him. Nothing can tear me away from him. I'm going where he's going. I trust him to the cross. And that's a lot. Man, we get to just do that. That leads me into John 17, 23 again. Union. That's what it's all about. It's our destination. Union with God Almighty. He is everything. He is pleasure beyond pleasure. The Apostle Paul, or David talks about this in Psalm 16, 11, that pleasures are at my right hand forevermore. It's like finding the parable was the pearl of great price, you know, the thing that where you sell everything to get this field where the treasure is. You found it. It's him. It's him. It's here. He's here. He's ready to do it. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we are ambassadors for Christ. What are we ambassadors of? His kingdom. Right? That's where we are. When we get born again, this is our heritage. Our inheritance is our home is heaven. We come from heaven to earth. We are in him, spiritually connected in union. And we are ambassadors here on this earth for him. An ambassador is someone who represents where he's from. and all of his power and all of his authority, and as wealthy as he is, we have that as a resource at all times. Matthew 6:10 says, "Your kingdom come." The disciples asked Jesus, "Show us how to pray. Teach us what to say. Help us with this." And he says, "Here, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come." Where? Where? "Your will be done." Where? "On earth as it is in heaven." See, we're ambassadors of this place. We're the gateway of heaven. The river comes through us and it changes this world. It's more powerful than this world. It's greater than whatever's in your way. It's what's in you and coming through you is greater than that. That's the prayer. That's the deal, though. That's the difficulty, right? We are gaining Jesus' inheritance for him in partnership with him by overcoming the things that would try to come against us. God calls us to things that are greater than we are. We surrender to him. We send up our gate. That's Psalm 24. We worship him. We lift up our gate. We worship him. God, it's your power. It's your strength. It's your deal. Here, I'm just standing here doing what you called me to do. The river comes through us, overcomes that thing. We step on top of it and do the next one. We're taking territory. We're going to get to do this, folks. I'm telling you. You and I have a persona in heaven, okay? We need to know who we are in heaven. How does God see us? What has he made us to be? Who are you when you're fully matured and you're everything that he paid for you to be? What do you look like? Who are you in heaven? It's important for us to know this because he'll show you. There's many... There's a lot of different stories in Scripture. I'm thinking of Gideon at the time. Gideon has an encounter with God, and what does God tell him? Tells him who he is in heaven. "You're a mighty, valiant warrior." Gideon's like, "Huh? Wasn't aware of that. That's who I am? Oh." And that's the story of Gideon. Gideon picking up on that and then becoming a mighty warrior. See, you can know who God has created you to be in an intimate relationship with him. He'll tell you. Not only that, though, it's promises. Thousands of them. Thousands of them. Promise is the language of heaven. It's the very language of that world, that realm. God says, "You are this, I promise you." And then the test is on. Where's our faith? What do we believe in? Because what you believe in is what you're going to do. Comes out of identity. Who are you? Guys, there are thousands of promises. Let me give you. These are inheritance words, okay? We're talking about inheritance. We're talking about heritage. These are inheritance words. If you don't know who you are in heaven, let me give you some basics here. Ephesians 2:5 says, "I'm alive with Christ." Romans 8:2 says, "I am free from the law of sin and death." Isaiah 54:14 says, I am far from oppression and fear does not come near me." That's a promise. It's going to be tested, but it's a promise. God has given you access into this. He's given you permission to be this. He's given you a river. He's done everything necessary for all of it to come to you. It's you just acting on it in faith. Ephesians 1:4 says, "I am holy and without blame before him in love." That's Ephesians 1:4 and 1 Peter 1:16. Ephesians 2:20 is a big one. "I am God's workmanship." See, that's uniqueness. That's where God will show you who you are specifically, because he's an artist and he formed you before the foundation of the world in this uniqueness with giftings. He'll show you who you are in heaven. He'll give you a glimpse and an understanding of your persona there. Then it's your job to live it out here. Easier said than done, I understand. But God's going to do that here. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "I'm a new creation in Christ." Romans 8:17 says, "I am a joint heir with Christ." Heir of what? The inheritance. The heritage. All that he paid for us to be, to represent him. Romans 8:37 is one of my favorites. It's the one I focus on the most nowadays. "I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me." The Bible says you're a super conqueror. And I do like Gideon. Oh yeah? I didn't know that. Been doing a lot of non-conquering. I thought I was to be conquered. No, the truth is you're a super conqueror. That's who you are. Will you believe me? Yes, Lord, I will. If you'll give me grace to do it, I will. So do you believe God's promises? They are all yes and amen, is what the Scripture says. Where is your faith? Do you hope in the promises? Remember, hope is a substance. What you're hoping for, that's faith. It's real. It's real. It's more real than you and I are. It's eternal. It's God. Everything else is passing away. These things are coming on now. It's a now word. You are these things now. But here's the deal. All of it's going to be severely tested. So we start with God's word. Heaven's my home. God's Spirit is my source of life, my everything. I get an identity from Him. Now, let's fight darkness. Let's overcome it. Let's prove it. Let's prove what we've got. It's going to be tested, I promise you. We are in a war, guys. We are in a world at war. This will be tested. The enemy does not play fair. Now, here's what happens. When we decide these things and we step into these things, it will bring up everything in you that does not believe it. It will bring up all of your negativity. On purpose. Why? Because he wants to get it out. He's got to get it out. You're already full of a bunch of junk. So what he calls you to, and when you face it, it's going to bring up that stuff. Why? So you can repent. No, I take that off. That's not the truth about me. God said this about me. I'm a super conqueror. This situation's making me feel kind of weak and puny and scared, and I want to run. That's the feeling. But nope, because this word says I'm a super conqueror. I will stand here and I will watch God bring a deliverance. And I'll learn how to take my stand. Because Jesus has given you love and heaven and a new identity. Now we can do, that's why we can worship like 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18 says. Y'all know what that verse is? It says that we are to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. You do those three things and you got it whipped. Now, why can we do this? Because heaven is real. The inheritance is true. There is plenty to do to rejoice about. When he's talking about praying without ceasing, that's just breathing every breath in the presence of God. It's not get a prayer closet and pray 24 hours a day and talk. No, that's religion. You just do life with God. Now, you might do some talking along the way, sure. But to do it without ceasing is to just breathe in and breathe out the presence of God. The breath of God, guys, that's the ruach of God, that Hebrew word. It means breath and spirit. It's the same word, breath and spirit. That's what he breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul, his ruach, his breath, his spirit. When you live in the presence of God, then you're just breathing him in and out all day long. You're with him. You don't ever get away from him. We got to learn to do that. Giving thanks, worshiping, overcoming with these things. We must make this our habit to live from heaven and in all of God's promises to live by faith. Then I begin to declare and to proclaim, this is who I am in heaven. This is who I am in Christ. Don't mess with me, devil. I got a promise. When he's so good, see, he gives you a promise. When the enemy attacks, then you know this is how God's going to flip it on him. How are you being attacked today? The flip side is God's will for you. But he's training you, causing you to face it and stand there in it and believe the truth and declare the truth and worship him through it until he subdues it and you overcome it. So you got a promise, Romans 8, 28. Promises that I'll flip it on him. I'll flip it on him. Remember what I said. Remember who you are in heaven. We're taking territory here. So whatever is your problem, whatever is your struggle today, it's there on purpose so you can overcome. And it's not going to stop. We got to take more territory. So the first obstacle, guys, you're going to have to conquer is your own negativity. Anybody negative? Oh, man, the church has gotten far too negative. You sit down and talk to just your common church guy or girl. My goodness. Doomsday everything. Conspiracy left and right all the time. Woe is me. We got to get out of this stuff. It doesn't help anything to rehearse it. You got to face this negativity. That's what's going to come up first. About yourself, the old you. Remember the old you? The old you that's got you in all the trouble. It wrecked your life and ruined all the relationships and never has worked. Remember that you? You got to face that old you and you got to overcome it by taking off and putting on. That's Ephesians 4:22-24. You got to get out of the negativity about the world around you, about God's kingdom and all the fear and the doubt. I got one of my favorite teachers. He says, you got to get over the oogle boogles. You know what the oogle boogles are? Ungodly beliefs. Man, we're full of them. The oogle boogles. You got to face them. You got to get over them. You got to stop it. You got to stop going there. You've always gone there. It's never gotten you anywhere. Stop it. All of it must be faced. We've got to engage it. We've got to overcome it in Christ, by Christ, in His Spirit. You got the old man with all of his baggage. Y'all know that? We walk around with baggage. I got this stuff along the way. This happened to me and that happened to me. It's all right in here. All my stuff. All my baggage. Y'all ever met somebody with baggage? Yeah, because you've met a lot of humans and we got it. But here's the good news. Jesus stole it off of you. He paid for it. Get rid of that baggage. You know what He wants to give you? Some luggage that's got the stuff in it you need for where you're going. That baggage has nothing to do with who you are and where you're going. You don't need it. It's like going to the Bahamas and unpacking your bags and finding out some enemy put Arctic polar wear in there. I don't need this stuff. I need a bathing suit. So get rid of all the baggage in your life. Just get it out. Share it. Let it go. Let God heal it. Let Him take care of it. Let Him fill you up with luggage for where you are going, for who you really are. Man, it's good news. I'm telling you, God will bring us things that are greater than we are so that He'll bring us two things that we got to have Him to do with. We got to have Him. We got to have that resource. But you're going to be faced with it. If you don't use Him, then they're just going to beat you down. These things in life, they're going to terrorize you. They're going to make life just hell on earth is what these things are going to do to you. So it's kill or be killed. There's no other way. It's kill or be killed. These things are coming to you. You might as well sink into a source that can overcome what you got to face. That's the option. Now, let me finish with this real quick, because this is what I want you guys to get the most. God says that He will give us vengeance on the enemy. Isaiah 61, it talks about favor and vengeance. Now, what that is the promises that it's these inheritance words. When we start walking in these inheritance words, we deliver vengeance on the enemy. It's like revenge. Revenge on all he's done. God says, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it through you. And He wants to give us that vengeance for what's been done, what the enemy did. The enemy is your trouble. The enemy is your enemy, not flesh and blood, right? He'll give you vengeance. When God sets you free in an area, He does it so wonderfully that He gives you a testimony. That is your story. That's your story. What has God done for you? Your testimony gives you automatic power and permission, authority to set someone else free in that very area. That is ministry. Anybody not know what their ministry is? Tell me your story. What have you overcome? I mean, it might be just overcoming, coming up front and giving your life to the Lord, and then the fear of getting baptized. Well, now you can help somebody else do that. What have you overcome? That's your testimony. That's your story. That's what you have power and authority to give to someone else. If we'll begin to do that, tell your story with the faith and the hope and the knowledge and the understanding that God did this for me so that He could do it for somebody else. And let it just spread out all around us. God has done awesome things for you. And if He hasn't, check whether you know Him or not. If you don't have anything, you might not know Him. You might think you know Him, but you don't. Because that's what Jesus does. He's an overcomer. He overcomes. And He leads everyone who follows Him to overcome. That is the family business right now. Is that we have the power in us to help someone else overcome as He helps us overcome. That's discipleship. And we're raising up disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. And we take the whole globe. The devil is nothing. Darkness is nothing to him. Your testimony is actually the beginning of your ministry. So if you don't know what your ministry is, then just look at your testimony. What has He saved you from? What has He delivered you from? What has He set you free from? You have authority there to see someone else set free. Isn't that exciting? Man, that's good. And Lord, we worship You for it. That in these things, as we operate in all these things that I've shared, we gain the inheritance that is heaven. You're the King of that place, Lord Jesus. And we surrender ourselves to You and then to our assignment to spread Your kingdom everywhere we go. Seeing people set free in the places we've been set free and being set free from more and more and more and more so that we have more and more and more points of ministry to give to more and more and more people, and Your kingdom comes and Your will is done on this earth just like it is in heaven. That is our call, folks. And that's something to worship the Lord for. He is worthy. God, we do worship You. Rick, as your team will come, we're entering into time of invitation. It's an exciting word. Now we just got to go do it, folks. We got to live in it. We got to do it. God's going to do this thing. Nothing can stop it. That's the vision that I've been given as I just walk with the Lord and hear Him speak. So the invitation is to you. Receive the kingdom. And then give that kingdom. Be loved and then love. Be forgiven and then forgive. Worship the Lord along the way, all the time. If everyone will stand, the invitation is for any decision that you would like to make. We pray for people and they are blessed. And I'd love to hear testimonies about how people come up here and get anointed and then God just moves in their life, as April was talking about. I'm telling you, the prayer up here works. If you want to make any decision for the Lord, now's the time to do that. This space is free and the whole space is free. You don't have to come up here. Just know that God loves you and is ready to do miracles in your life and in your heart. So, Rick, if we'll worship. It is well with my soul. All right, we're almost done. If you guys want to have a seat real quick, the men will come forward. Miss Reva Mitchell's come forward for prayer. She's got a diagnosis from doctors about a cyst, a certain kind of cyst that's in behind her ear, and it can be a severe problem. It can spread and grow. There's complications with the removal of it or with the keeping it. One way or the other, she needs some help. She needs some direction. She wants healing. We want to pray that, but she also needs wisdom and direction and peace. And so we just want to lay hands on her. We want to anoint her with oil and pray for God's perfect will. And so, Reva, we anoint you with the oil that represents the power of the Spirit of Christ. And Father, we just love you. Father, we stand before you and we worship you, God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is finished. And Lord, we apply that finished work to Miss Reva right now. Father, I apply her with the blood of Jesus to her spirit, soul, body, heart, mind, and will. I call forth life and life in abundance in her. May that river of living water flow that brings healing and health and wholeness to her body. Lord Jesus, we pray for healing now in Jesus' name. You paid for it, Father. You paid for everything. And Lord, we're seeking your very best for her to be poured out, Lord God. We're asking you for those greater things, Father, that you would touch in a powerful way, Lord, that we could see your activity here in our church, that we would know that as we agree in prayer upon the power of your word and your spirit will come and do mighty things that we can't do, Father, we surrender them to you. And Lord, we ask you for wisdom for Miss Reva, that she have wisdom to know and also to know, Father, that you are her keeper until you deliver her, set her free, heal her, give her wisdom. You are her keeper. You will never leave her nor forsake her, Father. You are present in this. And she, Father, is an overcomer in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that through this, she sees and understands the overcoming power of Christ in ways that are undeniable to all of us, Lord God. May there be a testimony of your greatness in Miss Reva's life over this problem, and we just surrender it to you, Father, and we worship you, Lord God, and we praise you for the power of our agreement and prayer and the anointing of oil that you promised to bring healing. And Lord, we release that healing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Thank you guys for that. And we're almost done here. I want Drew, will you come up here, Drew Brush? And we're going to finish off with this. Drew was baptized a couple weeks ago. We want to give him his plaque that you can put it on your wall.
Will do. Absolutely.
This is a testimony, so love you, man.
Love you too, Paul.
Yeah. Why don't you stay up here with this and let the people come. You guys will end up, just come say something to Miss Reva, let her know you're praying for her, and just hug Drew's neck. I've got Lakin's in here too. Is Lakin in here by chance? I need to get her up here next time. So we'll have another time we can do this. So we're closing. Everybody feel at peace, encouraged. Yes. Now the devil's outside there. He's going to knock you in the mouth as soon as you step outside, right? Because that's the way it works. But we've got overcoming power to draw on, and we're going to teach one another as God teaches us how to do it. See each other set free and encouraged, and we're going to begin to take Tennessee Avenue and the gospel to the city of Bristol. And that is our future, folks. And Lord, we bless you for that, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come up and hug Drew's neck.